pulling the strings behind the scenes with King Ahab. And here we see, Darren, he was so strong in the prophetic word that his words came to be. And we see that. I just need to go to Amos 3:7. And here in this little book in the Old Testament, in Amos 3:7, it says, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. And he truly revealed himself to Elijah so that Elijah then could then communicate God's words to the people." And this happened over and over again. For instance, in the very first part of 1 Kings 17, the very first verse, it says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." And that's a little m. So it's not God who's speaking here. According to Elijah's words, it did not rain for 3.5 years because God had instructed his prophet. And as it says in Amos 3:7, God doesn't do anything unless he tells his prophets first. So this
now,
is a...
Now, just a minute. Don't gloss over that too quickly. Go back to that Amos 3:7.
Okay.
And I believe this is very important. God speaks through men on the earth. He speaks through his prophets. He speaks through his ministers. And we need to know who those are and get them identified in our minds that when they speak, we really need to listen up. Now, here, what? Read that one portion again there in Amos 3.
Yes, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets." And this comes right after Amos 3:3 that says, "Shall two walk together except they be agreed?" And the agreement is so important here, and we know that this man Elijah was right on in line with God. I mean, total agreement with the Lord Jehovah.
Now, they really had an agrarian society there where they depended on the crops. I mean, daily they depended on their crops for their sustenance. And when there was sin in the land, God would withhold rain.
Mm-hmm.
And no rain, no crops.
That's right.
Today we need to really look at that. When God withholds rain and moisture and snow, we need to look at it. And he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land." Well, rain brings healing to the land. Or God's blessing brings healing to a circumstance. And so I'm going to challenge you that are listening today that are in the audience of this taped interview, we might say, and you're listening, why don't you go to God and say, "How come my finances have dried up? Has there been sin? Have I ignored you? Have I gone after other gods? Maybe the God of the credit card. Well, I've got my plastic. I can always buy gas for my car or food at the grocery store or whatever." And you're encouraged to do that by the credit card companies because they want your 18 to 21% interest. And if you go to the department stores, it just always tickles me. "Can I put that on your Foley's card today? Can I put that on your Sears card? Can I put that on your credit card?" And we have told some of them, "No, that's sinful. We can't do that." We don't want to get into bondage. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it's just like it's a spiritual challenge. When you go, "Oh, well, if you fill out this application today, I'd get a prize," being the salesperson here on the floor, "and you get 10% off on all your purchases today." Yeah, and then you would add 18% if I didn't pay it on time. We need to realize that God here is speaking to us in many cases through our financial condition, like he was speaking to the people here of Judah and of Israel, saying, "You guys need to shape up and stop going and worshiping other gods of the Asherah and so on. The yes. high places of the earth."
Absolutely.
Stop it.
This man who God raised up, he followed God with all his heart. He followed him with obedience, and he never did go to the right or go to the left. He also, this is a mysterious man because he didn't die. He did not die a human being's death. And it is said in the New Testament, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Elijah did not die. The only other man we know of that was translated was... the man in Genesis.
Enoch,
yes. I'm sorry. I had a moment there. But Enoch.
Got a senior,
Enoch.
A senior moment. Are those described in Scripture, senior moments?
Yes, so. Oh, excuse me. But Enoch did not die also. The Lord took him. So here is a man whom the Lord took up in a chariot of fire, in a whirlwind with a chariot of fire as an escort. And we see here in Malachi 4:5, God is talking about this, and Malachi is remembering. And he's saying, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And this Elijah, he came to restore the people, like you said, the marriage of Israel back to the husband. And this Elijah that followed in the New Testament, whom we know as John the Baptist, he came to restore the hearts of the people to their God. So everywhere we see this spirit, Jesus said of John that it was in the spirit of Elijah that John came. This spirit that came was Elijah's spirit.
And we're talking about John, the forerunner of Jesus.
Yes.
The one that foretold Jesus coming and introduced new concepts of forgiveness and really baptism
to
the human race. But this story here about Elijah, and Barb, would you like to read, I'll read it.
Okay. Let's start.
All right, we're beginning here in 1 Kings 17. And sometimes if you get discouraged about looking at the natural world and say, man, there's just nothing happening here, you ought to read 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, the wicked king, I'll add, and the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand. Surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my words. He's saying there's not going to be any moisture. That's what he's saying. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there two happy meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
I call them happy meals. I've inserted that. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. That's a happy meal, wouldn't you say? And bread and meat in the evening. And he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Now, why did it dry up?
Because there was no rain.
Because he put the word out there were not going to be any rain and no moisture.
That's true. And I also want to interject here that the Lord commanded him to go to a brook that is east of the Jordan. So this land was familiar to him. He was raised east of the Jordan. So he knew about the geography of the land here. He knew where the brook Cherith was. He went there. Sometimes I believe, Darren, God calls us away for a while. Calls us away for a period of time out of the situation we're out of even the spiritual conditions we're in, to get away and get close to him. And I believe this was a time for Elijah to get close and to gain power in the spirit, because there were great things coming ahead.
Well, you know, part of me wants to be kind of ornery with this story and say, now, if I were teaching a junior high Bible study, I would probably ask the kids, do you think those ravens were bringing roadkill to that prophet?
Oh, you adults
can't handle that, can you? Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose, and do you think she was conscious of who was coming?
I don't think so, because she was gathering. She was gathering for their last
gathering
meal.
Sticks.
And I really sense here that, you know, Elijah was at this brook until it went dry. Some of you are waiting for God to do something for you, and you need to either leave that job or move from that environment, that horrible environment you're in. You need to do something. Here, the brook dried up, and he had no more sustenance, and then God called him. He waited till the very last minute, Darren. Elijah was probably thirsty here before God says, now I want you to go to Zarephath.
Now, you know, I think that sometimes I think, oh, God sent me here, and I got to stay here until I rot.
Yeah.
No, I think you need to go back to the drawing board and say to the Lord, now what?
Yes.
I mean, it stopped raining here. Or
yes.
My income has dried up here. Now, Lord, you sent me over here.
Yes.
Well,
but
God
then
may
God
be
sends
saying,
him
hey,
away.
I've got another assignment for you.
That's right.
Arise and go to Zarephath, verse 9, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you.
Now, do you know how difficult this is, Darren? Jezebel came from Sidon. She is a Sidonian. The Lord is telling him, I want you to go to enemy territory here, to Zarephath, to a widow. Would you go into enemy territory where it is known that they despise you? Oh, I think I would think again. But here he's very obedient.
And he was a man of reputation.
He was.
Now, I believe that God sometimes, in fact, I've asked the Lord, you've put me on a zigzag course.
That's right.
Sometimes
God
I've
does.
Said to him, you hook me up here with an absolute loser. He has hurt me. He's cost me money. He's hurt my reputation. Mm-hmm. Now where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've said to the Lord, okay, you've sent me, I've zigged over here, I've zagged over there. Why didn't you just send me directly to where you want me to go?
Because you weren't ready for it.
Because I needed to learn something over there in that first zig and that zag and so on. And sometimes I said, Lord, you sent me through two or three.